Benjamin Cox,
great to have you here in the studio. I wish it were under better circumstances. Benjamin contacted me a couple of weeks ago. He said, you realize what's going on in Evergreen Park? I said, unfortunately, I didn't. And I'll tell you, Benjamin, I did a little Google search. Nobody else is covering it either.
No, it's been very, very light coverage.
I don't get it anymore. I got to tell you, I sit in this behind this microphone here in my little show, and basically it's me. You know, I'm a one-man band, and I'm looking around for stories, and people like you write to me and say, hey, were you aware of this? I mean, Tom Shepard from Southeast Environmental Task Force just has been writing to me about something else, which I might as well bring up because we communicated this morning, and that is Ninth Ward Alderman Anthony Beale is trying to overturn the landfill ban. Now, if you read his logic on it, which is just tortured logic, he's trying to preempt Dalton, which wants to do a land grab from the city of Chicago, and it's very convoluted. And you say, well, how could Dalton do a land grab from the city of Chicago? How's that even possible? And I can't imagine that Mayor Rahm Emanuel wants to be the guy who had a bunch of land stolen from the city. I mean,
but this is the same kind of thing that's going on in Evergreen Park. It's what, you know, it's all about who's in power and who benefits.
Right.
So on Evergreen, you've got on the one side of Western Avenue where they're going to develop this mall. It's way at the edge of their village. And if you cross Western Avenue, you're in Chicago. We're the ones that are going to have to deal with all the problems. And you've got this development from 91st to 93rd Street. 93rd to 95th is a Walmart Sam's Club. And at 95th Street, there's a dead shopping mall, mostly dead. There's still a few stores in there, but it's slated for redevelopment. You know, it's the same kind of thing. If you arrange it, you work on it ahead of time, you get our alderman who from the beginning looked at us and said, hey, it's a done deal. Lay off, you know. The Evergreen thing.
Who's your alderman?
Matt O'Shea is our alderman.
So,
and he's come to every meeting we've ever had on this, and he talks to us, but he's always saying, hey, it's over. What do you want me to do? So I could see the same thing.
It was over before it even got started is what he's saying.
That's what he's saying.
It's like Obama saying single payer is not on the table.
Right.
And so Alderman O'Shea said saving the trees is not on the table. What else do you want?
Right. Let's deal with traffic. And that
alone would be reason not to do it. That's already a congested area.
It is. 95th and Western is highly congested.
Yeah.
And in fact, now they're talking about taking and reconfiguring the lanes and losing parking in Chicago on 95th Street, which will be bad for our businesses and only facilitate the movement of traffic to these new developments where the taxes will end up in the coffers of Evergreen Park and not Chicago, where we'll have to deal with the problems. And that's kind of the bigger issue here. I mean, all of it, I drove by there this morning. I can't even look that way anymore, and it's one of the main entrances in and out of my neighborhood.
Ugh.
It's just, I mean, it's a night and day. It's like a bomb went off. It's just a really horrible, horrible thing, and it's changed the whole tenor of the neighborhood.
So let's back up, and for people who are just hearing this for the first time, tell them exactly what – there was a golf course there, Evergreen Park Golf Course, and I know because a couple of decades ago I played a couple of rounds there, and it was a nice little course and, you know, not too spectacular because pretty much – enclosed by streets, traffic, you know, a very developed area right next to the city and an older suburb. But it had a lot of old growth tree.
We figure on the area that they cut, which is the property is bisected by a railroad track, and the area to the east is the one that's up against the busiest part, which is Western Avenue, and facing our neighborhood. We figure they cut at least 300 old growth oak trees. I mean, we're talking trees that have been there for over 100 years easily.
And some of the – I have a photo on my website because an arborist who was not part of the project, which is interesting, was just driving by and said, I got to get photos of this, and sent them to another arborist friend of mine. And he sent them to me and said, have you seen this? And I said, you know, yeah, I know about it. I hadn't actually seen it. If I had had time yesterday, I would have gone down and taken some photos myself just for today's show. But if you go to my website, mikenovak.net, you can see what's happened. And I think I've actually got it on the homepage. So the idea was there was this old golf course. And who owned – was that a municipal property?
No, it was a woman who at about 105 years old, right before she passed away, she put this deal together with Sterling Bay, the developers, and Scott Goodman's the principal of that of that development company. She had previously tried to sell the property to Home Depot, and they were going to put something on the whole property. And the village then jumped in and tried to use eminent domain to take the property. And this is where we all kind of got quiet. We thought, well, if the village isn't going to let her turn it into, you know, a development, then we're fine. They'll figure out something better to
right,
do with it.
Right.
Once she passes away, they'll keep it as a golf course, something like that. All of a sudden, last year, out of nowhere, this deal was done. It came out, you know.
Transparency in government.
Yeah. Zero transparency. I mean, they did a fine job of railroading this thing through. I got to give them credit. They really, really
okay,
did
who's,
this well.
Okay, who's they?
Evergreen Park, but in cooperation with county officials, in cooperation with, obviously,
so county commissioners were involved in this,
well,
too?
Well, I mean, I think they haven't done a lot to
stop
try and
it.
Stop
yeah.
it either. And the same thing, you know, our aldermen.
Because I keep seeing these names on your website, on the Friends of the Forest Preserves, and on other sites, some citizen action websites.
Yeah.
And I keep seeing these people, and all I can think, because I am in privy to this, is who was stepping up?
Right.
You know,
I mean,
if anybody, you know, if Tony Preckwinkle had said, no, we want that land, do you think that the trees would have been chopped down?
Exactly. I mean, if the decisions were made, and that's the problem, this decision was made absent of consideration of the people across the street. And, you know, it's the same thing that you're talking about down in Dalton. You got Dalton versus Chicago instead of let's talk about this on a regional basis because we all live right next door to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't see some big green line going down the middle of Western Avenue that tells me that I've just crossed into the suburb.
Mm-hmm.
That's still my community, even though I'm not paying taxes over there. And it still has a tremendous impact on the quality of life in our neighborhood. But you got the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, you got the Illinois Department of Transportation, the Chicago Department of Transportation, you know, Cook County, Evergreen Park, City of Chicago. All these folks are players in this, and yet from the beginning it's been, oh well, it's a done deal. Developer bought it, they're putting this in, and the way that they sort of calm down the folks in Evergreen Park is by keeping the western half as a park. So now they're buffered by a park, which is wonderful that land is still being preserved. But they're sticking this development in our faces. And the problem is, like I said, two blocks away is a dead shopping mall at a much better intersection, that an intersection that's already designed to handle the kind of traffic at, you know, that will come to that shopping mall if it's revitalized.
So there's so many parties that are culpable in this, it's kind of hard to keep track.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the developer. Give me the name. And I'll tell you what, folks, if you want more information about this, I've got it posted at MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show and start following. I couldn't put everything up there because a number of people have written that. And by the way, I don't know if you went to my website, but I've come up with the title for this whole thing, and I call it Nightmare on 91st Street.
Nice.
Thank you very much. Nightmare on 91st Street, and that's what we have. But you can link to the Beverly Improvement Association because Beverly's, you know, the one that's going to suffer
right.
from this.
By design, it's shoved in our faces.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, yeah, once again, City of Chicago. So, you know, let's take advantage of the City of Chicago.
Right.
If you're in Dalton, yeah, we'll just dump stuff. We're going to claim the land that's in your city limit and start resume dumping. And then you've got an alderman like Anthony Beal who, and again, I tried to figure out his logic in doing, because he thinks it'll actually help if he overturns the landfill ban, because then if Dalton claims it, we're ahead of the game somehow. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, and this is all about money. That's the problem. Our society is driven by money. And at some point, we got to figure, wait a minute. Money is definitely a factor, and jobs are definitely a factor. You can't ignore that. We live in Chicago. We don't live in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge or some other far-off protected place. So, but you've got to look at these green spaces, the Chicago River, the forest preserves, the free and clear lakefront. You've got to look at those as a prized jewel that must be protected as part of what makes this a good community to live in. So if when we let things like 45 acres next to the City of Chicago go because of a developer who wants to make some money, Scott Goodman at Sterling Bay, that's a travesty. Hey, Scott, I got an idea. Go two blocks away where there's a dead shopping mall. Go three blocks away where there's an empty Web Ford dealership. Go three blocks the other way to where there's an empty Borders bookstore. There's a lot of other opportunity in our community to redevelop, and you don't take priceless green space.
Priceless, and that's the word. It's
way
you can't get that back.
It's done.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at the photo right now on my website of the oak trees felled, lying there. You don't get that back. And what?
You know,
it just makes me so angry.
I mean, the one ray of hope, and you know, I'm an optimist to the end. And the bottom line is for the first 9,800 years since the glaciers left, trees came and went on these lands, you know, over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
This past 100 years with these trees here is what human beings are really able to relate to time-wise because of our lifespans, I think. The thing is if we do stop the development and we're able to plant trees there, in 100 years, we'll have those same old-growth oak trees. But if they actually build on this property, that destroys the land.
Right. Then we're done. So the point.
Make your phone calls.
The point. Well, and that's what I want to talk about. Who do they call? What do they say? Who do you want to get PO'd at for this? I mean, I'm PO'd at everybody. I'm mad at the politicians, the alderman O'Shea, who let this happen. I'm angry at the board, Cook County Board, that let this happen. I'm angry at the real estate developer. What's the name of the company again?
Sterling Bay.
Sterling Bay. Okay.
Give them a call.
Give Meyer a call. I've got connection that you have on your website to Meyer and Menards. You email them and say, what the hell do you think you're doing?
Yeah, and we had some conversations with them, at least with Menards, to say, why would you not want to be at a much busier intersection two blocks away? It doesn't make any sense. They're going to have to spend millions of dollars offsite on road improvements. These have nothing to do with the value of their property. And, you know, why wouldn't they spend that money two blocks? You know, they don't have to spend that offsite money. They could help redevelop this site, improve the property, and put it at a much better location.
If you've got a question or a comment, 773-763-9278 is our phone number, 773-763-9278. Just before I break, let's go to line one. And is that Mary in Forest Park?
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Welcome to the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Well, I've been better.
I was calling in about, I just turned on the radio this morning and was listening because I was on your show with Ben, what was it, a year and a half ago?
Yes.
Yeah, and about the illegal dumping that the county had been involved in and co-signed at the Miller Meadow Forest Preserve.
Right, and Miller Meadow. What was the nickname for Miller Meadow? Wasn't there a nickname for it? I don't remember.
That old Baldy was the was one of the things I think Ben called it, but one of the big areas out there. But that's a 90-acre site that was dumped on illegally by the county. And Preckwinkle's people, last I checked in with Ben, and he can correct me on this, had agreed to an 8-point correction plan that that the Friends of the Forest Preserve had put forward on that site. And this is a whole set of different legal issues and environmental issues, and the site is different and everything. But I mean, it's this is dumping in on Forest Preserve land. So my blood pressure is going through the roof here as I'm listening to this news story about Evergreen Park, because we really got ahead of steam going and an actual lawsuit prepared and a notice to the county of intent to sue on behalf of the citizens of the county over this Miller Meadow issue, and that seems to be kind of dead in the water right now. So I'm frustrated. So,
yeah,
where do we go?
Yeah, exactly. You're feeling how I'm feeling, which is helpless, impotent about this, realizing that the money interests win almost all the time because there's no transparency, and they waltz in and they decide how we're going to live our lives, whether we're going to have trees in our lives or not, or whether we're going to have open spaces. I mean, the idea that we would take away open space, we're past that. We're like 40 years past where we should be making those kinds of developments. And I call, you know, those are suburban developments in the city. That's the other thing.
Make any sense.
This idea,
it doesn't fit. And that's the thing. If they would have designed this development in such a way that it was green and walkable and bikeable and lots of trees and permeable pavers and that kind of thing. I think we would have lost a whole bunch of the people that stood up and fought with us when we saw all they're doing is the same thing that's right next door at the Walmart Sam's Club, a rolling topography of pavement with little plastic bag tumbleweeds rolling all over the place. I mean, that's what we're going to have, big bright lights and pavement, and that's it. You know, they've had an opportunity to make something that was much more fitting for this urban situation.
You know, and I asked earlier, I said, Myers and Menards, what are you going to do for us? What? Okay, you just took away the land. You're going to develop on it. You want people to come into your damn store. What are you giving us in return? What are we getting? You're going to even give us permeable pavers? What are you going to do? Put a garden on the roof? What? That nobody could go up to except your employees?
I mean, if they did that stuff, at least it's something we could say, all right, you know, and you make sure that there's high-quality stores. There's a lot more than just those two going into this location. There's, even though they don't have anybody signed on at all, not even Myers and Menards, yet they have letters of intent, but they haven't even signed leases, and they're already destroying the land.
Well, Mary, I've got some other callers. I guess we other people are getting a little upset, too. So thank you for calling in, and I'm sorry, you know, keep me posted on what's going on out your way, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, Ben, I just about picked up the phone last week to give you a call for an update.
So. All right, yeah. Well, the update is that there is a plan for remediation at Miller Meadow, and they're starting to implement it. So that will be some semblance of a forest preserve again sooner than later. Preckwinkle's people are doing the right thing.
Good.
There.
Glad to hear that. Mary, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks.
Openlands wants to alert you to a bill. See, every time we turn around, Benjamin Cox, there's something. It's just like an assault. It's like a constant assault on the environment, you know, and often the argument is, yeah, but we need jobs. You know what? Jobs come and go. Those things fluctuate over time. The economy ebbs and flows. But once you take away the land, it's gone.
Yeah, and there's vast tracts of land in the city that are empty. Why don't we look at those? Yeah. Land that's already been developed and now it's lost and kind of sitting there. Why don't we redevelop the stuff that we have? Strengthen our communities.
Yes. And Openlands wants to alert you to a bill recently approved by the Illinois Senate. I was talking to Jennifer Walling at the Environmental Council about this because it's coming up for a vote, I think, this week. It was approved by the Illinois Senate that poses a great threat to our state's environmental regulations, which are designed to protect people from harmful pollution and ensure companies clean up their mess. SB 3414, write that down, SB 3414, changes the purpose of these environmental regulations, you're going to love this, by allowing private companies to argue that their costs of compliance are, quote, a threat to public interest, safety, and welfare. This is 1984 stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, the thing here I think that's so just wrong is that these companies come in, and they take our community resources, and they take advantage of them, and they make a profit. And that's fine. That's the way it should be. But they should have to give back, too, and they should have to be responsible citizens.
Yes.
So Mr. Menard up there in Wisconsin and the Meyer brothers in Michigan, they wouldn't let this stuff happen in their own backyard. So why should we let it here? Scott Goodman up in Winnetka or Glencoe or whichever North Shore suburb he lives in, he wouldn't put this development in his backyard. But, so why should we have to put up with
right,
it down here?
Exactly. And getting back to SB 3414, the changes to the law would prioritize protecting polluters' profits rather than protecting people from getting sick. If SB 3414 becomes law, big polluters in Illinois will be able to use it to skip, delay, and skirt our most important environmental regulations. We can still fight this bill in the Illinois House. Take action today. And I looked at the vote. When I got the information on this in the Senate, it was 52-0. And I talked to Jennifer Walling, and I said, well, why, you know, if it's such a bad bill, why are they all voting for it? She said, a lot of them didn't even read it. They don't even know what's in it. Do you guys do your jobs anymore?
Well, and they do rely on citizens to call them and let them know what's going on. So as you're calling about that bill, tell them you don't want them to issue an IDOT permit for the development at 91st and Western 2.
We'll get to that.
Called it, but I mean, that's the thing that bothers me the most. People feel powerless in these situations. Each individual person might be, except make your phone calls to your elected officials, tell them what you want. They get five phone calls and it's a landslide.
That's true.
But people don't call them. Yeah. So call them and tell them what you want. It's really a powerful thing to do.
Take action today by telling your state representative to vote no on SB 3414 to ensure the integrity of our environmental regulations. Go to openlands.org to get more information about how to contact your state legislator. Please, please do it today. The vote's coming up this week. Openlands, conserving nature for life. Go to openlands.org for more information about that. That voice you're hearing is Benjamin Cox, who's the executive director of Friends of the Forest Preserves. Wow, the lines have lit up.
They are lit. Flashing.
Let's take them. We'll do some quick phone calls here. We go to Santo, the bus driver. Santo, always a pleasure to have you on the Mike Novak Show.
Okay, Mike, you're not going to like what I got to say, but
go for it.
I listen to you every week, and you know you're the greatest. But I think you're biting off the hand that feeds you right here. You got to remember, Myers and Menards are just the people that take the next step after the politicians sell us all out. They rezone the land. They look at the 5-year, 10-year, 20-year game plans. They know what's in it for them. They know how their constituents, whether they funnel it to their kids or their cousins or whatever, and how much they can make off of it and how much they can rape us.
Okay.
It's not Myers and it's not Menards. They create jobs, and I understand they put these big parking lots, and I see it all the time. I drive around. I see there's parking lots. There's empty Best Buy goes out of business. They close 30X amount of stores. Now these become wastelands, and they're, you know, I understand the big picture. But it's the politicians that the people need to know that are the ones that are the masters of our destiny, and if they choose to pocket the money first and worry about themselves and us second, third, you know, the citizens will pay for it because you want to live here. You can't leave. Property values are bad. You got to stay here, so we'll just keep taking more and more taxes and more out of the people's pockets and use jobs as a something off on the side over here, but the jobs are, you can't even raise families on them. Everybody's
15-hour jobs.
You know what I'm saying, man.
Yeah, no. And Benjamin's nodding, and I'm
always a politician.
Yes, it is. But
those bills, they put those bills, and they bunch those bills up, and a lot of times you don't see what's inside those bills. I mean, there's a motorcyclist here in A-Bate of Illinois. A lot of times we're fighting bills that are put inside of bills that are put bills.
I hope you're not driving right now, Santo. I hope you're not driving. You're pretty worked up.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sitting in a parking lot over here.
Okay, good.
Parking lot over here.
And you're absolutely right that it starts with the politicians who do not have our best interests at heart and are bought and sold.
Do.
And you know, I won't say 100%, but far too many. Still, there's a lot of culpability here. There's a lot of people in the chain. And for me, I'm not going to let Meyer and Menards off the hook because they're allowed to have
Meyer and Menards. It could be Walgreens. It could be anybody.
But these companies could come in. Companies could come in and do the right thing. They could say, we're not coming into a development that looks like that. This is 2012. We want to come into a development that fits the community and that's green.
Yeah, you know,
didn't bulldoze down those trees. That was all predetermined by somebody else.
Yeah, but they're only doing it because they're only bulldozing on those trees because they know they're coming. If they weren't coming, they wouldn't be doing it because they wouldn't have the money to fund the project.
Santo, great comment. I'm going to let you go.
I listen to you every week, man. You're the best. Okay.
And you're the best too, Santo. I really appreciate your call. Man. Bye-bye. 773-763-9278. Let's go back to the phones and see if that... There we go. And that is Mike in Waukegan. Mike, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? You know, the whole thing is you hear those, the USDA spots about, I consider them disingenuous, you know, about the emerald ash borer beetle and how much destruction it causes. What about the greedy, voracious developer beetle that works in tandem with the venal politician weasel. How many trees do they destroy? I've seen it up here. You know, the whole thing about gentrification. You know, they'll call the land blighted. They come in, they clear cut it, put up a shopping mall. Then the one down the street that's a ghost town, and it just keeps moving
just
further
rots.
Out.
It rots.
And I've seen them clear cut trees here beautiful old growth stands of oaks, clear cut, and nothing. There's the land right now, there's nothing set in. It's just moonscaped, that's all. And I think they should be responsible for having to, in other words, it's an externality, right? They're taken from the community, and they should have to replace every one of those trees, I think, in a forest preserve or someplace.
I'll tell you, Mike, I'm getting some blowback on this. I'm looking on Twitter. I haven't really caught up with Facebook at the moment, but people saying you can't blame Menards and Meyer. I'm sorry, they're on the list. They might be at one end of this food chain, and where the politicians are at the top of it, but the developers somewhere. Somewhere, somebody has to step up and say no. And as Santo pointed out, yeah, there's going to be other companies ready to move into the vacuum and take this over. But if enough people say no, maybe they'll think twice about just taking those trees down and paving over the property.
Right. Yeah, see, now they pave over it. You hear all these people talk about global warming and, how we're adding all this CO2 to the environment, and that promotes plant growth, which is true. But plants can't grow where there's blacktop and concrete.
Exactly.
So that kind of precludes that, doesn't it?
It sure does. Mike, great comments. Thank you so much. And have a good Sunday. I want to get to some more of these phone calls. 773-763-9278. Let us go to Dave in Madison, Wisconsin. Dave, how you doing?
Good, Mike. Thanks for taking the call. I'm enjoying the show. And, I had to disagree a little bit with the folks who are saying it's not, about Menards. If this were a company that had had a decent environmental record, that would be one thing. But John Menards, who is the wealthiest man in Wisconsin, is a notorious environmental lawbreaker, including personally transporting chromium and arsenic contaminated ash from his factory in Chippewa Falls, bringing it in bags to his own home and having garbage men pick that up. That was all videotaped by the Wisconsin DNR, and he was fined $1.7 million for that. It's also the company that had intentional open sewers in their facility up in Chippewa Falls, directly into the Chippewa River, which they intentionally dumped hazardous waste, used waste oils and all sorts of other things into it. They just got fined $30,000 last year for dumping herbicide on one of their little green spots in the middle of one of their parking lots up in Onalaska, Wisconsin. So this isn't about, there's bad politicians and it's money, and those are things that are always going to be there. This is about individuals making specific decisions to flaunt environmental laws, to hemorrhage money to the very corporations that are working in Washington 24 hours a day to gut these laws, and then to violate them when they do get their permits. So, it is about Menards. It's about John Menard. People can look him up and read about it, look at the indictments and the fines that were levied, and then make a decision as to whether that's the kind of company they want in their community.
Yeah, and Dave, thank you for – I saw that you had sent me the attachment about Menards, and I was going to get to that, but I'm glad you called and did it in your own words, which is works for me. I want to try to get to one more phone call, and I really appreciate you listening and giving us some insight into the company that's moving in. Let us – hold on. I should hang up. Wait. Oh, I want to make sure I get the right one. Oh, there we go. Let us go to the phones, and this is Bernie in Chicago. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with what's going on there, and they snuck this in because on 91st Street, I think it's 91st, they had a bunch of heavy equipment there, and I knew there was going on. But the one I really would like to get is that alderman from that Chicago area. He ought to have – we ought to boot him so hard in the rear end. Here's what I look at it. I think this is racism because Evergreen is changing. They're not as apt to be screaming and yelling. That alderman from Chicago wasn't screaming and yelling. And now, if this was going to go on in Wilmette, do you think those trees would have been cut down?
Well, that's not racism. That's economics. You know, it might be classism.
I call it racism because what they're doing is they're doing this. And when you drive around the Chicago area and you look and go to Hinsdale and see the beautiful trees in the parking lots and that, and then you go into a poor area and they can squeeze as much pavement out, they'll do it. If they have to chop down Christmas trees just to get that extra inch, and they know that the people there are poor, they're not going to be complaining, they're not going to be screaming. This is a real tragedy.
It is a tragedy, and I appreciate your phone call, Bernie. I got to move on. I'm running out of time, but thanks a lot for calling. And you were kind of perplexed with Bernie's comment. You really don't see it as
well. I see where he's going though with the idea that in certain communities things are acceptable and other ones they're not. I mean, you can go out to some of the,
and that's what I would say. It's more about class.
Yeah, it's a class thing, and it's what and it's the standards that the politicians in those communities set forth and demand. And I think everybody's been saying that today. Mm-hmm. And the only power that we have over those politicians is for us to call them and tell them what we want.
And I'll tell you what, let me take care of some business when we come back. We're going to tell people how to take action.
Good.
All right, if they're upset about this. I mean, it's not too late. It doesn't have to. The trees are gone, most of them, but in that 45 acres, but it's still not paved over. So perhaps something else maybe somebody can get whooped upside the head and wake up.
Well, and we can plant 2-inch trees like you were talking about earlier on your show.
That's right. That's right. With the 300-pound root ball.
Okay. You and I will do the first
one. All right,
one,
good. Man. We will. Benjamin Cox, Executive Director of Friends of the Forest Preserves. Before we leave, before I let you go, how can people get involved in this issue? It's still not too late, right?
Right. So they haven't built it yet. If we can stop them from building it, we can replant. Call your state rep or your alderman and tell them not to issue the IDOT permit. That's the road.
The alderman is O'Shea in particular in that area.
Right.
State rep who.
Each one of your own state representatives should be called.
Really?
Let them know that you don't want to see this IDOT permit go through because it's just going to increase congestion in a place that already has too much.
So it's IDOT that needs to approve of this. It's like
they need to give a permit.
It's like at Starved Rock where we're waiting for the IDNR to approve the sand mine, the open pit sand mine next to
Exactly.
Starved
Rock. And then your alderman has control over the Chicago Department of Transportation permit that needs to go along with this also.
So any alderman. Just call your alderman and say, what the heck is going on down in Evergreen?
Why are we spending Chicago taxpayer dollars to solve an Evergreen Park issue?
And also you have places where you can write letters. If you want to write to Meyer, I've got that on my website, or Menards. There's a petition that you can click on my website.
And every time you sign it, an email goes straight to Meyer Menards.
Really? On that petition?
Yes.
Good. And more information, I've got your website, Friends of the Forest Preserves, /advocate/act-now. But the link is on my website, so people can go there. Or just go to www.fotfp.org, and you'll go to the link at the top.
Yeah, you'll see it. It's actually right there at the bottom, too.
Yeah.
The other two people I want to mention, again, Scott Goodman at Sterling Bay. Ask him if he'd do this in his own community and why is he doing it to us and what can he do to make this better for us. And the last one that we haven't even mentioned is Penny Pritzker. Penny Pritzker is a funder of this project. That's how they were able to buy the land. Here she is, the Pritzker family that does so well, you know, does so good for Chicago everywhere else. But here in this little hidden pocket, they're funding a project here. And actually, they're real big proponents of green, good architecture throughout the country. They were just giving out awards last weekend for that here in Chicago. And yet they're letting this slip through. Why is that happening?
And I thought
something better.
Yeah, I don't know. What are the Pritzkers doing involved in this? Yeah. It's just that this is not their MO, it seems. Or maybe it is. I don't know.
And of course you can donate to the cause at the BIA.org or at the Friends of the Forest Preserves website. We're teaming up on this. Again, the Beverly Improvement Association and the Friends of the Forest Preserves.
And all those links are on my website. Benjamin Cox, Executive Director, Friends of the Forest Preserves. Always glad to have you in studio. Wish it were under better circumstances.
Yeah.
But, hey, we have just begun to fight.
I think the next time I'm back, we should talk about all the wonderful improvements that are happening at the Forest Preserve. There's positive things.
All right.
Our work's paying off. Just like my good friend Margaret Frisbee here was here earlier talking about the improvements of the river. We can talk about how the Forest Preserves are getting better, too.
You know what? Good news. We'll do the good news next time.